Let's open the Bible together this morning and turn to 1 John chapter 3. First John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Thus far, we read the divinely inspired scripture this morning. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. People of God, the text for the sermon this morning was the text for the very last sermon I preached as the pastor of Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California, just a few weeks ago. It was my farewell sermon. And I preached this text for two reasons. First of all, this text was the appropriate conclusion to a ministry that began deliberately with an inaugural sermon on Isaiah 40, verse 9, Behold your God. And I don't need to say anything more about that to you this morning, other than that it was the intention to continue to hold before the people of God from the pulpit and in all pastoral work, our great God, and to keep issuing the calling to behold our God, and then to leave with the hope of this passage that one day we shall behold God as he is. But in the second place, this text was chosen for a farewell sermon because I believe it's the greatest passage in the Bible, and therefore it is my favorite passage in Scripture. That I regard it to be the greatest text in the Bible is, of course, only a matter of personal opinion, and you can take that with a grain of salt, but it does explain why this passage was chosen for a final sermon. I believe this to be the greatest text in the Bible, and it is that for me personally, because God tells us three things that are simply amazing, and they fill my heart with adoration and awe and excitement. First, we shall see God. Could there be anything better or greater than that? We shall see God. And secondly, we shall be like God. Not only will we have a perfect vision of, but we will be perfectly conformed to God. Imagine that. God, we will be like God. And then third, there is the connection between those two ideas, which, though it lies beyond what we can fully grasp, we all believe. For, and we'll come to that in the sermon, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, the sight of God will be transforming so that in seeing him, we shall immediately be like him. Nothing thrills my heart then as the truth of this passage, and I trust that is true for you too. Hope this morning, the very next verse goes on to state, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. This morning, God holds before us hope, the great hope we have for the future. And our great hope is that we shall see our God as he is. So let's consider that truth for a few moments this morning. 1 John 3, verse 2, under the theme, Seeing God as He is. An astounding sight, a wonderful transformation, and a sure confidence. We shall see Him as He is, and what an astounding sight we shall behold. The text ends, For we shall see Him as he is. First of all, this is astounding because we will see God. Verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." And now the text, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He, God, shall appear, we shall be like Him, God, for we shall see Him, God, even as He, God, is." We shall see God. God is God, and God is not like anything in the whole creation. What glorious, awe-inspiring sights have you ever beheld? Some national park with its stunning vistas of mountains and waterfalls and lakes and forests, or some dazzling sunset in which the whole of the sky is ablaze with color and you scarce can take it in, or maybe a little baby, your own child, your very first child, so perfect and adorable, or your bride, after you haven't seen her for some time, your bride. What have you beheld that is so glorious? These are all creatures, and of the earth earthy, we shall see God, the living God. God is the holy other one. God is the incomparable being. God is the transcendent creator whom the heavens cannot contain, nor the heavens of the heavens. God is God. There's nothing like God, no matter what you've ever beheld in the heavens above, in all the starry host, or in the earth beneath, or if you've ever put a mask on and you've gone deep down into the waters beneath the earth, no matter what you've ever seen, you've never seen anything that can even begin to compare unto the living God. An astounding sight, for we shall see God. Secondly, this is an astounding sight because we shall see God who is invisible. God is not composed of parts of physical matter. He doesn't have a visible physical body. John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see. God tells us over and over in the Scriptures, I am God, you cannot see me, no one has ever seen me. And yet the God who cannot lie promises us this morning, you shall see me as I am. And I believe Him, and you believe Him by faith. We shall see Him, the invisible God, whom no man has ever seen. And I believe Him and am as excited as Job was when Job exclaimed, according to Job 19, verse 26, though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Thirdly, this is an astounding sight because we will see God who is holy. Once again, 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. God in His holiness, the thrice holy triune God, is infinitely brighter than the bright sun during the noon hour. God is holy. If you were to stare at the sun, it would burn a hole in your eye. And we are sinners. How can we approach unto and behold the holy God without being burned in body and soul? But we believe Him that we are sinners, but we shall see the holy God and approach unto Him, our God, and delight in Him. We shall see Him. An astounding sight. But then fourth and finally, this is an astounding sight because according to the apostle, we will see God as He is. In this world, we don't always see things as they are. For example, there is a man, and you can see the man in church on Sunday, and the man speaks very kindly, and the man dresses very nicely, but you don't know him as his wife and children might know him in his cruelty in the privacy of the home. There's the man, and then there's the man as he really is. Or there's the king who's elevated in dignity and honor and rank, and then there's our limited view of him from a distance. The king as we see him, and then the king as he really is. Or there's some object, and it may be that something obstructs our view. In Southern California, there are the beautiful mountains to the north, but often, especially in the summer, with a bit of smog and a marine layer that moves in and gets trapped in the valley, there can be a haze so that there are the mountains, and then there are the mountains as they really are, and we don't always see them as they really are. Or maybe we have a transitory sight so that we are swiftly moving by something. We don't really see it as it is. Or it, like a comet shooting through the sky, is swiftly moving past. There it is. But we don't always see it as it really is. We shall see God as He is. We shall not see God for all that He is, but we shall see Him as He is. We shall not see Him for all that He is, because God is God. And even when we are glorified in heaven, we are still men, and we cannot fully take in and comprehend our God. God is infinite, and we will forever be finite. We will never be able to plumb the depths of His infinite riches of knowledge and understanding. And we will never be able to scale the heights of His mercy, which is high above us as the heavens are high above the earth. And we will never be able to take in fully all of His inner life as the triune God and fully know Him as He, the living God, fully knows Himself. And we can take great comfort in that. I do. Because I'm a very, very, very small man. And if I can ever fully take in my God, then my God must be a very, very small God. But God is God. And let God be God. We will never fully know and comprehend our God. But we will see Him as He is. Though we will not see Him for all that He is, we, with our limited human capacity and according to His unveiling of Himself, we will see Him as He really is. His being will not be clouded, but He will show us even more than He shows us now in His Word. And He will not be so lofty that He forever remains mysteriously beyond our knowing, but He will show Himself to us even more than He does now. And He will not allow any obstructions, chiefly that of our sinfulness, to obstruct our view of Him. We shall see Him as He is. Beloved, wait till you see God. in all of his resplendent glory and see him as your Father, if we with the apostle exclaim today, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Wait till we see him as he is, as our Father, in his love, as he draws us all the way to himself in glory. And we see him, our Father, as he is, an astounding sight. Then we will exclaim as never before, behold what manner of love. We shall see him as he is when we see Jesus. Whatever difficulties are presented by the text, all of those difficulties are solved in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall see Jesus, and when we see Jesus as he is, we will see God as he is. This is the teaching of the apostle in the text when he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, at some point in the future, our God will appear. And the teaching of Scripture throughout is that there is a time coming in the future when God will appear, and God will appear when his Son, Jesus Christ, appears in his glory. In fact, that's the teaching of the apostle three verses previous in chapter 2, verse 28, when, speaking of Jesus, he says, and now, little children, abide in him, Jesus, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. At his second coming, Jesus will appear. And when he appears and we see him, we will see God. Now, the explanation for this truth is that Jesus is God. He has a divine nature. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says he is the brightness of God's glory and he is the express image of his person. To see me is not to see God. To see any one of you is not to see God. To see any other man is not to see God. But to see Jesus is to see God. It is astounding that we will see the invisible God. We will, when we see Jesus, who has a glorified, visible humanity, seeing him, we will see the invisible God. And it is astounding that we will see the thrice holy God and not be burned, but we will see him when we behold Jesus, whose blood washes away all of our sins, and who is our mediator by whom we can approach unto the holy God. And it is astounding that we will see God as he is. We will, when our eyes lay upon Jesus as he is, we will see God as he is. Does that not fill your heart with delight this morning? That you will see Jesus. Sometimes I wonder what we think when we hear that we will see Jesus. And I hope none of us this morning imagine Jesus as some mystical, angelic-like figure who's hovering around in some ethereal world. Jesus is a man. Jesus is God. Jesus is a glorified man. But his humanity was not deified. His humanity was glorified. Jesus is still a man. He has a body. He has a face. And he has eyes into which you can look with your eyes, we shall see him. And don't you long for that? Is it not the natural craving of the human heart to be able to see some great man that everyone is talking about? Remember Zacchaeus, who wanted to see Jesus, that wee little man who was pressing against the crowds and he couldn't see Jesus? So he finally climbed himself right up into a tree so that he could see the one everyone had been talking about. All throughout history, men have had an insatiable desire to be able to see the one who excites their heart. For you and me, that's Jesus. We shall see Jesus. Not only Adam or David or Paul or a family member, but Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for us. Jesus is the one who speaks to us every Sunday through the gospel and at whose feet we sit for instruction. It's the name of Jesus that we confess in the world every day. And every time we pray, even as little children, we conclude our prayer in the name of Jesus, but we've never seen him. We shall see him as he is. As he is. We shall not see him as he was, as a little baby. We shall not see him sweating. We shall not see him bleeding. We shall not see him despised and rejected of men. We shall not see him being crushed under the burden of our guilt and under the wrath of our God. We shall see him as he is in his glorified state, in all of his majesty and power and honor. With our eyes, we shall behold him. And if he were in a crowd of 100,000 people, we would spot him immediately. He is God incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed it shall be when at his appearing we see him. And the moment you see him, all of these troubles that attend your way this morning will not matter. They will not matter the moment you see Jesus. And seeing Jesus as he is, we shall see our God as he is, an astounding sight. The result of this astounding sight is a wonderful transformation. We shall be like him. The apostle states at the end of the text, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In consideration of this wonderful transformation, we need to examine three things. First, the now. Second, the wonderful transformation and what we shall be. And then third, the connection between the wonderful transformation and the astounding sight. First, now. And that's where the apostle begins, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now are we the sons of God. That means that from eternity, God has predestinated us unto sonship. And at the cross, our God purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ and gave us the right to be his sons. And by the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are born of God so that we are born out of the womb of sin and death, and we are born into this new life as the sons of God, having a new principle of life in our hearts. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. There's a future glory and blessedness that belongs to us as the sons of God, but that doesn't appear yet. And that's why the world doesn't know us. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world doesn't know us as the sons of God. For this glory that belongs to us as the sons of God, it has not yet appeared. Now, are we the sons of God? But we still have this sinful flesh that cleaves to us so that we sin. Just like everyone around us in the world, we sin. We break God's commandments. We disobey earthly authorities. We have to go to someone and say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wrong. Just like everyone else. We sin. Now are we the sons of God, but like everyone else around us in the world, we have this old, mortal, corrupt, weak, dust-frame body so that we get sick, we're subject to injury, we end up in a bed in the hospital. Next thing we know, we're standing in line with people of the world in the pharmacy getting a prescription drug, or we're being put in a box and lowered into the dirt only 10, 15 feet away from an ungodly man who hated God. Now are we the sons of God, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. Where's this glory? Now we are the sons of God, but we're subject to all of the calamities of this earthly life, like tornadoes and flooding, or the consequences of nation warring against nation. And so the world looks at us and we say that we have something, we're something special, but they don't see it. Where is this glory of which you speak? So now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. First, the now. But we know. Here comes the wonderful transformation. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like God. We shall not be equal to God. We shall not be of the same essence as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but we shall bear a creaturely resemblance in body and soul when we are perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Then we children will be like our God. Our bodies will become resurrected bodies of immortality and glory and honor and power, and no longer bodies of sin. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And our soul shall be purified so that we are perfectly righteous and perfectly pleasing unto God. And we will never have even one stray thought. This is what's so amazing about Jesus. Verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six very short words. And in him is no sin. Jesus. Soon, you and me. And in him, her, is no sin. All of the inclinations and the desires and the movements of our soul will be perfectly pure and consecrated unto God. Our bodies will look like Christ's body. Our souls will look like Christ's soul. And then we shall be like God, children who are perfectly conformed to their Father in the image of their Father. This is the consummation of regeneration. At the moment of regeneration, we were born again out of the womb of sin and death. But when Christ shall appear, we shall be born out of the earthly, born out of the natural, born out of corruption, and born into heavenly glory in body and soul. Now we do not look like God, as we shall look like God one day. And so the world does not know us, with the exception of Jesus Christ, who for 40 days after his resurrection walked around on this earth in his glorified state, appearing specially to some people. The world has never seen a glorified man. When the world saw Moses in Pharaoh's courts or Paul in Rome, they didn't see a man in his glorified state. No one has ever seen a man in his robe of righteousness and with a crown of glory and honor. And so the world doesn't know us. But when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, and then all will know our glory as the children of God. We shall be like him. Now, isn't that amazing grace? Undeserved favor. We're almost to the end of the Bible. But if you go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, in our father Adam and mother Eve, we hearken to the temptation of the devil, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And we wanted that. We wanted to be like God in our own way, and in a way God had not ordained. And under the curse, we are conformed to the image of the devil, and God could have cast us off forevermore. But our Father loves us. And in Jesus Christ, who humbled himself even unto death, God will save us, and he will transform us so that we shall be like him. That's amazing grace. And what a wonderful transformation this will be. The apostle captures that in a very simple way in the text when he uses the word what. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Not who. Who? We are the sons of God. That's who we are. That's who we will forever be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We will be quite something. What? Well, like God. How do you say that? How do you explain that? We will be like God. What? Something profound, something we cannot fully grasp. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. It will be a wonderful transformation. This morning, you and I are poor beggars in our tattered garments of sin, but when we shall see God, we shall be kings robed in perfect righteousness. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Wonderful transformation. And now connecting the wonderful transformation to the astounding sight, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When Christ appears at his second coming and we see him, the sight will be transforming. So that to see him will be to be made like him. Colossians 3 verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We are like the moon. From our vantage point on earth, the moon all by itself, the moon is rather homely, drab, ordinary, darker kind of gray, the moon. But when the sun takes its brilliant rays and the sun throws its rays at the moon, or to put it differently from the perspective of the moon, when the moon with its face looks at the sun, casting all of its rays upon it, the moon becomes this glorious, costly pearl of beauty in the sky. Here we are. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, shall arise with healing in His wings, and when Christ shall cast all of the beams and rays of His glory at all of His people, put it differently from the perspective of the people, when all of us with our face shall behold the Son of Righteousness, all His glory will shine at us, and we will then reflect that glory and be perfectly glorified as He is glorified. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every eye shall see Him, but not every man will be wonderfully transformed, because not every man is a son of God with the principle of life in his heart. Some will see God in the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and be terrified, weep and wail, and call for the rocks to fall down upon them. But we who are alive as the children of light, as the sons of God, when we see Jesus, the sight will be transforming. Then regeneration will be brought to its final consummation, and all the world will see our glory as the sons of God. We shall be like Him. And just think about the glory that will belong to God in that day and how God will be glorified. Now the world is so dark and there is so much sin and death, but Christ will appear. Christ is the bright light, and He will appear, and all the innumerable throng of the elect, whether they died and went into the grave or whether they are the few who will yet be alive at the appearing of Jesus, all the elect will receive that glory of Christ and be glorified, and there will be so many luminaries of glory and brightness in Christ and in all of His people, and it will all redound to the glory of God the Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us, that we should be wonderfully transformed and be made like Him. Our hope, the text explains our hope, and of this hope we are confident this morning. And that's expressed very briefly in the text. But we know, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. From a natural point of view, what the text promises us this morning, it seems to be beyond the realm of possibility. We shall see God, and we shall be like God. Who would ever believe that? But by the wonder of the gift of faith, we believe, and faith is knowledge, and we say, we know. Together with John and the believers of the early church, as a congregation, we say, we know. We don't know exactly what the immediate future holds. You don't know for you as a congregation, but we do know that we shall see God as He is. And we do know that the world does not know us, and the world hates us, and our Lord said there will be great tribulation for us. We know that tribulation's coming, and we know the afflictions that we experience as the people of God. We know that, but we also know that one day we shall see God and be made like Him. The goal of the preaching of the Holy Gospel is to give us the knowledge of faith, so that then in the midst of all of the circumstances of life, we can say, but this we know. And we are very sure. This is a sure confidence because the apostle begins, beloved. And that's not simply John's beloved to the believers. And that's not simply your pastor's beloved to you as a congregation. This is the Father of love. He addresses us and says, beloved. He loves us. And that guarantees that the hope of this text will be realized and that he will take us and draw us unto himself and show himself to us so that we shall see him as he is. Beloved, we know. We know. So keep looking up. Keep looking up to your great God and with confidence wait for the realization of the hope that he has promised you this morning, you shall see him as he is. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, for thy love of us, we thank thee, and for the hope that we have received this morning. And every one of us that has this hope in us purifieth ourselves. And so we pray that thy word may have that effect too, that we leave thy house this morning equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit more and more to separate ourselves from what is sinful and base and deceitful and be consecrated unto thee, the God whom we hope to see and know our confidence in Jesus Christ is that we shall see thee as thou art. In Jesus' blessed name do we pray. Amen.